You know, whenever we go through some stuff, we got to look to the other side of it. 6 weeks in your house and therapy, all that kind of stuff. But we see past that, don't we? When we're going through some stuff with Jesus, we see past that, right? Where we want to be. Justification. Pastor Jim talks about it all the time. Sanctification, discipleship, glorification. That's where we're all trying to get to. Here, Savior. Here, Lord. Here, Lord. It's our spirit. We get born again, get a new heart. Only God can see that. Right here, spirit, soul, our soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions. What is it, Latrice? What is it?
I just couldn't hear you very clearly.
Is this, no speakers, are there?
No.
Oh, okay. I was thinking this kind of was connected somehow. Okay. Only God sees our heart right here. Only God sees what's going on in our soul. That's where discipleship is, going through the fire Jim talks about. Counting it all joy. Beholding Him, we're changed from glory to glory. And then every now and then we'll get to sit in this chair over here. That glorification, that's not just when Jesus is coming back and takes us on up there. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. So that's where we should be striving for. And every now and then we get to sit in this chair, but we can't get too comfortable because we'll find ourselves falling back over here. And we'll find ourselves missing the mark. We need to get back over here. But there's a repentance chair over here. This little chair right here, that opens the door to salvation. But after we're born again right here, it keeps the door closed to the devil if we're quick to repent. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean now all of a sudden we're saved again. That was for the unbelieving Jews. That was salvation for them. All our sins are nailed to the cross here. He took them all.
Yes.
Now back here we have that old sinner's chair where we all started life. We sat right here in this chair. And most of the world doesn't know the difference between this chair and that justification chair. They don't know they need a Savior, and this is foolishness to them. Adam and Eve, that's why we're right here. It was their will. Jesus said, not my will, but your will in the garden. He redeemed mankind from what happened in this chair. Adam and Eve walked naked, but they were covered with the glory of God because they were in His presence in the cool of the morning or the evening. God showed up. They were at one in fellowship with God spiritually. But when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they broke God's first commandment. You sin the law of sin and death, you die. Spiritually, they died immediately. And for 4,000 years, mankind was spiritually dead. Lazarus lay dead 4 days. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. 4,000 years. Lazarus represents 4,000 years of being spiritually dead as he lay dead in that tomb for 4 days. But then he experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. He walked out of that tomb. Shed the grave clothes. Do you know that we shed all that old stuff that we brought into this chair when we get born again? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now, no condemnation for who? Believers. We're born again, brand new Spirit. And Jim will point out many times, I've heard him say this, in the Greek, there's no therefore, no condemnation. Therefore was added somewhere else. So anytime we want to beat ourselves up and we're not doing it right and everything, we say, wait. No. Just sit back in this chair and say, Lord, I missed it today. So Lord, please forgive me. But what continues us on to this chair over here, where people were just like you in that darkness where you work, they see the light of the gospel. They see the light. Salt and light. Light is love. Salt is the truth. You're speaking the truth in love wherever you can. You're a light to those people. The darker it is, the brighter the light. The brighter the light. But we have to sit in this chair right here and grow up. John 14:21, Jesus said, if you keep my word, my commandments, then you love me. And my Father will love you, and I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you. It's the manifested presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Hear God's mercy. Hear God's power. He hung on the cross. Father, forgive him. God's mercy, all sin. His blood covered all of us. But the power of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Once we're filled, overfilling, and we walk in that power, we can have fellowship and speak to God in our own language. It edifies and lifts us up and builds us up. There's power and authority for ministry that we didn't have before we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can read scriptures all day long and quote them all day long. And that's a good thing. But until we have that power, we won't know where God wants to take us, and we won't know the authority we have. But once we have that authority and we know who we are in Christ, and that's our identity, then all of a sudden, as we mature and grow up, we'll love somebody. Not in our own power, in our own strength. We're not going to love somebody for a payoff. Boy, I love my wife. She sure treats me good. If she treats me good or bad, I'm going to love her anyway. Because it's not me doing the loving anymore. It's Jesus. We've been married going on 8 years. First 4 years, Joyce Green, my spiritual mom. You know her. Prison ministry. I stepped right into prison ministry 15 years ago after God called me. Been in it ever since. But when she married us, sat in the house, she taught us about covenant. And she said, I want to tell you a little something. A lot of people don't know this. When they get married, marriage is like a boiling pot. And stuff's going to come to the surface that you didn't know was down there. And you just can't go home because you live together. And you're going to have to begin to deal with some stuff you never dealt with before. Now, I'm going to be real honest. My wife and I, we got together and things would boil up a little bit. She'd get in her car and she'd be gone. She'd just take off. I didn't know if she was coming back or not. An hour or two later, she'd come back. As we begin to grow in our walk and with the Lord together, begin to pray together, I'd look around, she'd be gone again. This time she'd be back in 30 minutes. We was gaining on it. Then before you know it, she'd start to head for the car and she'd just turn right back, come right back now. She wouldn't even start driving down the street. I can tell you for myself, we were both single for 25 years. And when you're single for 25 years, you get to doing stuff your own way. And it's kind of all about you. Because I cared about my dogs, but it ain't the same. When we got married, both dogs were in the bed. She's, what were the dogs? Well, we started out sleeping two fox terriers, me and her in the same bed. Wouldn't you know, after a while, the Lord dealt with me and the dogs moved to the living room in a big, plush, comfortable chair. They no longer slept in the bed. I had to make some adjustments. She wasn't a dog lover like I was. But something happened to me, I can tell you. And I don't know when it happened, but I know it started when I started sitting under Jim Borchert's teaching. My church was Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Bob Nichols, big church. A lot of evangelists, Rodney Howard Brown, all these top evangelists, Tim Story, everybody had come through. I went to Bible school there, sat under that anointing, all those powerful evangelists. It was in revival back in 95 and 96 and 97. And the power of God showed up and people were changed. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And I had a reserve seat right up there close to the front. I mean, Rodney Howard Brown, the place was packed out. Man, if I got there a little late, it didn't matter. There was my seat. Latrice was so embarrassed when we'd go up and there's our seat sitting there. She didn't like that. Is everything all right, brother? Okay. So there, those seats were sitting there. And all of a sudden, God called me to go to Jim's church in Fort Worth. And they had those old bench seats now, and they were pretty hard, and my back hurt a lot. And I left that comfortable seat, being obedient to the Lord, and went to Jim Borsch's church. And because I sat under his teaching, I can tell you somehow in the last 3 or 4 years, something happened. I began to love my wife in a way that I've never loved anybody. I loved her as Jesus loves her. And I don't know how that happened. I can just tell you it happened. But it happened sitting under Jim Borsch's teaching. All responsibility falls on the husband. Jesus took all of it for us, the bride, didn't he? All the burdens fell on him. Well, I got a hold of some of that. Now, do I stay there? It's like I'm in this chair when I love my wife so much. No, just the other day I got, what did you do that for? Why did that happen? What's going on here? I fell right back out of that chair again. That old flesh just rose right up again. Amen. What happens when that flesh rises up? You get back in here and you burn it off in this fire. You don't hurt the spirit, you're just burning that flesh up. And what do you say? Lord, I don't want that anymore. Wouldn't you know you'll go through some trials when you say that? The Lord chastens those he loves. You're not going to know what you're made of, how strong your faith is, or how willing you are to do what God's called you to do until you've sat in this chair right here. Now, some exciting things happened to me. When I first got born again 15 years ago, I was a professional gambler, outlaw gambler, one of the best card cheaters in the world. Cheated people out of millions. My dad, Titanic Thompson, most famous gambler in the world, Poker Hall of Fame. I became a gambler so my dad would accept me and love me. Met him when I was 18. He left when I was a little kid. But right before I went to meet my dad, something happened. I was 18 years old, and a friend of mine knocked on my door up in Evansville, Indiana. We went to high school, grade school. His name was Mike. Mike knocked on the door and he said these words, "Tommy, do you know Jesus Christ?" I said, "I don't think I do, Mike." Took me to Mill Road Baptist Church, walked in that church, tears came to my eyes. They did an altar call. Baptists are good at that. Boy, I ran right down that. I confessed, got baptized that night. Boy, told me I'm going to heaven. Wow, that's pretty cool. I put that in the bank. I just said, well, that took care of that. Something happened, though. This old repentance chair here, I didn't think of myself as being all that bad. I believe if somebody gambled and lost their money with me, they shouldn't have been gambling to start with. Just because I cheated them out of it, they wasn't gambling, had those kind of problems, they wouldn't be sitting at the table losing their money. Imagine how we can justify ourselves. But see, about 2 months later, my girlfriend gave birth to our little girl, Tanya. She was holding that little baby, and I'm in my XK150 Jaguar convertible. Had a stepfather, wealthy family. My mother had a lot of oil royalties. My dad won and gave them to her when they got divorced. She's holding our little baby. I drove up there, and there's her and my little baby, Tanya. And I said, "Now, you know, I always told you I wasn't going to marry you. Now, you remember that, don't you? Her name was June." She just stood there looking at me. She said, "I always told you I was going to go to Texas, meet my daddy, and be a famous gambler." I got in my Jaguar and I drove off while she was holding my little baby. She was speaking in tongues. I thought she had totally lost her mind. That was so foreign to me. So now that old religious chair is right here. That's what religion told me. Hey, you're saved. You don't have to do another thing. You'll be just fine. But when I got to San Antonio and met Daddy, something happened. I met a beautiful girl down there and married her for a year. Wouldn't marry the mother of my daughter, but this girl just swept me off my feet. I just fell head over heels in love with this girl. A year later, said, where are you going? I said, you know, I'm a gambler. I'm going to Pittsburgh to play poker. She said, if you go up there, I won't be here when you get back. She worked. She was a legal secretary. Well, I went to Pittsburgh and came back, and just like she said, she wasn't there. I was heartbroken. So now here it is in the middle of the night in a motel. Her pastor was a friend of mine, Lutheran pastor. He and I had become friends. And 1 o'clock in the morning, something woke me up. Now let me just tell you something. Did I get a new heart? Was I born again when I walked that aisle? No. Was a seed planted? Absolutely. It may have taken 32 years to be birthed, but I'm just telling you, it wasn't birthed at that time. Now here, that seed's in there. The Holy Spirit woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm all depressed, brokenhearted in this motel, and said, I want you to drive to the Lutheran church at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just got up and drove to the Lutheran church. I said, I know it's going to be locked. I'm not sure which one, on this side, the right side.
You're fired.
You what?
You're fired.
Is that the right one?
You got that right so far. Let's see. You're good.
Okay, all right. So now I drive to the Lutheran church. I knew the door was going to be locked, but the door wasn't locked. I guess they didn't lock churches in those days. They trusted people. I don't know. I walked in there, it was dark, I turned the light on, I got this big old Bible, I put it on the podium. Didn't know one book from the other. Put it on the podium, opened it up, in the beginning was the Word, opened right to the book of John. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. Man, I just started reading from that Bible to an empty church. I can tell you, I'll never forget. It's like it wasn't my voice doing it. I thought maybe it was the echo in the church. But there was a power or something coming from that Word as I began to speak that Word. I'd never felt anything like that before. Walked out of there next night, 1 o'clock in the morning, back to the church again. Began to read about John the Baptist. John gave this testimony. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He gave a testimony. I saw the Spirit come down as a dove and remain on Him. I would not have known Him had not the man who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is He who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. I've seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Wow. Whew. Went home, came back the next night, read some more. And here's what I said walking out. I said, God, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't like school. I'm not going to school to be in the ministry. I came down here to meet my earthly father, my daddy. I'm going to be a gambler just like him. I'm not going to preach your Word. And I walked out of that church. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. The Holy Ghost drew me to that church. For the next 32 years, I went around cheating people and doing things and should have been locked up many times. Cheating people out of millions and everything that goes along with that lifestyle. My daddy died 10 years later. I asked him when I met him, I said, Dad, you believe in God? He said, look around, son, there's got to be a God. But Jesus? No. Did he ever know Jesus? I don't know. Mama moved to Texas, an alcoholic. God restored our relationship miraculously through a dream. Did I pick up a Bible after that? No. Next 5 years, 1990 to 1995, more women, more drugs, more partying, more gambling. Didn't matter. But God did that miraculous thing right before she died and restored our relationship. Then God somehow woke me up early one morning. I never got up early and looked in a mirror and took a good look at me. I didn't see the guy that was working out. Pretty cool. Rode Harleys. All that kind of stuff. I saw the real Tommy Thomas. I didn't like what I was looking at. And I said, God, I've been taken my whole life. If I die, I want somebody to remember me for something besides cheating people and being the best at it. I want to give something back. Wouldn't you know that God, 2 weeks later, put a prophet in my life? Never seen me before. Spoke the word of the Lord to a friend, and I said, she said all those things? That man's a professional gambler, makes a lot of money, has a lot of nice things, got a big heart, not all that happy, and God's got him on a long leash. Wow, I made a joke about it. 2 weeks later, night before Easter, 16 years ago, that prophet had another message. God's got you on a short leash, the devil's made a bet on your soul, and God has covered the bet. I said, Easter Sunday, tomorrow morning, where do you go to church? I went to church. After that, she spoke into my life at lunch. Kid, when you were a teenager, God called you to be an evangelist. And everything in your life is led up to that end. And it's like you poured hot oil in me. My countenance completely changed. And that seed that was planted, all of a sudden, Tommy saw Jesus, who died for him personally. And what was always missing, there was no purpose for my life. All the money, no purpose. All of a sudden, I had purpose. The God of the universe called me to preach the gospel. All of a sudden, my life stood for something besides just me. Now, I'm born again. I said, well, when you're born again, you're just a baby Christian. No, a few months later over here, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a Pentecostal church. I didn't want it. How much time do we have? How long? What time is it, David? How much time?
Well, you got some more time. You can go to 10:30.
Okay. I went to Reverend McGarry's church, Pentecostal church. I had a little book given to me, Why Tongues. I said that I just wouldn't even read that book. I didn't want anything to do with that. But Reverend McGahey thought I should be a Pentecostal preacher and took me down to Lufkin, Texas to their headquarters. One of the preachers, Bob McCool, was preaching. He stopped and looked over and said, everything's going to be all right with you, Tommy. God told me. Reverend McGahey just started crying. Bobby said, hey, you ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, no, I haven't. I'm going to be preaching up in Fort Worth. Why don't you come by the church? That morning I went by the church and I left early. I didn't want to go up front where they all prayed for people. I didn't want anything to do with that. But that evening the Lord spoke to me. Get on your Harley and ride it to Reverend McGahey's church. Wrote it to his church. Bob McCool was preaching again. And this time I sat up front, Reverend McGahey's wife. She said, why don't you go up front? I'm standing there with my eyes closed. They all pray for you to receive the baptism. That's a big part of salvation in a Pentecostal church, United Pentecostal. Got my eyes closed. Man came up. Whispered in my ear. Had a dream last night about a man on a Harley, and God told me he was going to use that man, and I was supposed to tell him about the dream. When I saw you riding on your Harley, I knew you were him. I'm a minister, and I knew I was supposed to be in this church tonight at this time. Shama, 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 shama came out, bubbling up out of something, out way down deep. Something just started bubbling up. And all of a sudden, the fire of God hit me. I couldn't sleep for 3 days. I'd never experienced anything like that. My wife and I are in jail ministry in Tarrant County. We're chaplains and in the prisons. They had a God pod in the Tarrant County jails for a lot of years. I had a chance to go in there and share a testimony. These same ministers have been going in there forever. They wouldn't give up their spot for nothing. But I got to go in because one wasn't there. And the chaplain, I'd preached in his church, one of the main chaplains. And said, go in there and share your testimony. Right in the middle of it, God said, tell them about how you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I knew if I did that in the jails, I wouldn't get to come back. But I did. I was obedient. And when I shared what I just shared with you, the fire of God came into that pod. the guard's holding himself up. The men jumped out of their chairs and they ran forward and they said, "I want it, I want it, I want it." I didn't know how to give it to them. I said, "Here, here, here." And some of them started shouting in a language that they didn't know before. Shouting. Never seen that since. Shouting. Not just bubbled up a little bit. We were administering in a church 3 or 4 years ago. We have a book, God and the Gambler. We give it away. Prisons, jails, TV show we have, everything. We've done that for years. I said, "Yeah, I'm going to give you my book." He said, "I know you, Tommy." I said, "This is my wife." He said, "I was one of those in the God pod that started shouting in tongues that night you were in there. I knew it was real. It wasn't something I kind of imagined or just, it was real. Power of God was real." So now I'm just a baby Christian. It's only been 7, 8 months, but I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to grow up. I want to be a disciple. I go to Bible studies. I go to 3 or 4 different churches, different nights to be fed the Word of God. So here I am. I hate that word, baby Christian. Do you know we got resurrection power in us the day we sit in this chair? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're kings and priests. Praise God. But I didn't know all that, but something happened. Rodney Howard Brown was preaching at Calvary Cathedral. Big prayer line. I mean, people stood way out in the foyers and everything, waiting to come around and pray, pray, pray. I'm way back there. Standing there with a friend of mine, Betsy. All of a sudden, I hear some little kids screaming. They're screaming. I just turn around, the line behind me, and this old guy's just twisting his kids' ears, just making them yell and scream. And there was a staff guy there, who's about 7 foot tall. I said, "Well, he'll take care of this." He never made a move. I said, "Well, I know that this is about Jesus and loving people and everything, but I'm fixing to go nail that guy." And let me tell you, I looked a little different back then, man. I was solid muscle. I went up there and first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to grab him. I'm going to just jerk him back. And if he raises his arm to hit me, I'm going to nail him right there. And here's what happened. I actually moved to that chair and didn't even know that chair existed. But it went in slow motion. And all of a sudden, my hand went on his chest. And it said, "God loves you and I love you." He said, "Don't come between me and my kids." I said, "God loves you and I love you. I'm calling you outside." I said, "No, you're not. God loves you and I love you." And he just wilted. I walked back in line, and my friend was Christian a lot longer than I was, in Bible school and all that there. And she didn't know what I said, but she whispered in my ear, "Love is the most powerful force in the universe." And I looked and I saw him coming up behind me. I said, "Oh, no. No, no, no." He said, "Brother, would you pray for me?" I prayed for him. And I was in Bible school next semester, and I looked over there, and there he was in Bible school. And when he came walking up to me, he walked like this. He wasn't calling anybody outside. All God wanted him to know was how much God loved him. Not about religion, not about doing all these things for God. Just having a relationship daily. An intimate relationship with Jesus. Jim says we start every day out going through the gate of thanksgiving, into the court of praise, into the holy place. We thank him, we praise him, and then we'll begin to worship God and love God. God will begin to reveal some things to us. We were preaching down in one of the prisons. We do the Sunday morning service in Powley's Prison in Tennessee Colony once a month. I'm getting ready to preach to all these guys. 4 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up. He said, "Tommy, you're a little upset with Barbara. You're telling me how much you love me. Do you love Barbara?" I said, "Well, God, you know we took her in our house after she got out of prison. I bought her a car and we supported her for 8 months, God. You know she went and she hid that car from me. She didn't make those car payments, God. I mean, and now she just kind of pretty well threatened me if I even tried to come get the car. This is a girl we love, took in our home, ministered to her, God. I'm having a little hard time loving her right now. Did you say you really love me more than anything, Tommy?" "Yeah, I do, God." It's not a suggestion, Tommy. We walk in forgiveness. I got my phone and sent a little text. I said, Barbara, please forgive me. And I got set free. And I got to share that with all the men in the prison, because so many harbor unforgiveness. But as I began to grow in my walk, I went to Bible school right here in this discipleship, graduated from Bible school. Didn't really know how I was going to make it after Bible school, because I'd sold my three Harleys, $40,000 each and a couple of them, for half that price. You see, I owed a bunch of credit card debt. I had platinum cards and all. I was never in a hurry to pay all that stuff off. I made plenty of money, but now all of a sudden I'm not gambling anymore. But what am I going to do? A powerful singer, a cappella, Earl Harrigan, sings in crusades for powerful ministries. Was at a Revival Now meeting in Calvary Cathedral. It was the last day, and we're sitting there having lunch. And God knew I was worried about how I was going to make a house payment, even though I'd got rid of everything else. And he reached in, he pulled out a $5 bill and said, God told me to give you this, Tommy. Watch what he can do with it. And he said something else. God's going to put a lady in your life who's going to be a dear friend and be a supporter of your ministry. I was very cautious, because women was always my weakness. And when I'm sitting in church, and here I am on the end of the aisle, there was always a Bible right here. Nobody sat next to me. One day a girl in the choir just come down, moved the Bible, and sat right there. Pastor Bob Nichols, for the Sunday morning service, walked all the way around, looked at both of us, patted me on the leg, said, how you doing today, Tommy? And that girl got up and walked off. I had a pastor that wanted to protect me. Now, here I met Latrice. We've been best friends. She had a word from the Lord. I'm supposed to be your friend and be a part of your ministry. After a couple months, she just kept looking at that Bible sitting right there. And she was wondering if that Bible was ever going to move or she was going to sit next to me. But it did. And after about 2 years, God said, I want you all to be married. She had some income from a trust and all. And I'd gotten rid of everything. But we had enough to start a television program that was on Sky Angel Christian Satellite. We were on twice a week. We filmed it, produced it, and closed captioned it. We learned all that by the power of the Holy Ghost in our house. And Sky Angel gave us $200,000 a year free airtime, and we aired prime time twice a week at 9, 10, 11 o'clock. That went on for 7 years. God also told us something else. He said, I don't want you to, same thing Joyce Green said, I don't ever want you to charge for the gospel. You make everything free. We have almost 20,000 of our books, God and the Gambler, goes to the prisons, jails. Out of all the things we've done, we're on radio in the prisons now every week. I take the television shows, there are testimonies of people, and God brought every guest. I edit them and put them on radio that goes into the big prisons now. God put all that together, and he said, I don't want you to charge for this. I'll provide for you. And through the closed captioning, we closed caption Jerry Seville's TV show every week. And that's how we support our ministry. That's God's way for us. All I can say is we're all sitting in one of these chairs. Every one of us are in one of these chairs. And we know friends just like me. And walked an aisle. Confess Jesus. And they'll tell you they're a Christian when it's a bunch of religious nonsense. And they'll feel guilty and they'll try to do three or four things to overcome what they did to make them feel better about themselves. They'll sew on fig leaves and hide from God. They'll do whatever they can get away with. But God created Adam in his image. When the second Adam came, God was created in man's image. So now, he can be our arbitrator. In Luke, son of man. In John, son of God. Son of man, Son of God, God can now represent us through Jesus Christ as he intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Every second of every day, he knows what's going on in our life. And when you sit in this repentance chair, there's something else that goes along with it. It's called not just turning away, but resting in Jesus. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He yokes up with us. He does the pulling. We're just obedient. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Denying ourselves means we put kingdom business before our business. The more time we spend in this chair right here, becoming a disciple, the more time we'll spend in this chair. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Following Jesus is sitting in this chair. If you don't ever want to walk in darkness, you're going to stay in this chair. Here we're little children, here we're young men, and here we're mature fathers and mothers. In 1 John. Little children knew the Father from the beginning. Young men filled with the Holy Ghost, overcoming the devil, the evil one. And mature mother and fathers, they can actually love their neighbor as themselves. I told you about Jesus loving through us where there's no payoff. There's a lot of very unlikable people in this world. But when we see people as souls, we can love them regardless. We don't have to like them. But we can show the love of Jesus. And when we're salt and light, that light is the love flowing through us. The presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And that salt is speaking God's word, the truth, in that love. And that will change the world. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we're all in one of these chairs every day. But if we know somebody that's in this first chair over here, Lord, let us reach out to them like Mike did to me, and he knocked on my door and boldly said, Tommy, do you know Jesus Christ? Help us to be bold and reach out in love with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. Help each one of us to do that with our neighbors and wherever we go, Lord. It's not that hard. Has anyone told you Jesus loves you today? I want to be the first. If they walk away, many will. But there'll be some that'll say, you know what? Would you pray for me today? I needed to hear that. We never know. But Holy Spirit, you know, all we have to do is step out in faith. And Lord, there are some that are caught up in religion and not a relationship. So Lord, help us to reach out to those. And if we fall back into that old religious spirit again, Lord, help us to recognize it and cry out for you. And Lord, this repentance chair, the quicker we sit in it when we miss it, Lord, the devil, the door will be closed, and he can't even get his foot in it. But if we put it off, Lord, the next thing you know, he'll get his foot in that door, and we've left an opening for the powers of darkness. Help us to keep that door closed and have a heart for repentance, Lord. Lord, those that are sitting in this first chair over here, this justification, they've never even thought about going on. You'll know my disciples by the love they have for one another. The only way we can do that is to grow up and become a disciple and learn the Word of God. And then we can say, I love you, Jesus. Not just words, but because we keep His commandments. And then the Father will love us. And Jesus will love us. And as He manifests Himself to us, as His glory begins to cover and fill us, we'll move into this number three, this glorification chair. And people will actually see and want what we have. They will recognize there's something different because we become mature fathers and mothers. Help us all to strive to get to this chair, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.